Today on Real Radio.
And this is rather simple. You know, we kind of get all hung up and people who have been like demanded, you know, you've been saved for a day, so now you're going to be on the board of the church. You ever seen, I heard about things like that. People get saved and a week later they're assistant pastor. And it's like, great, wow, okay. But yet service is what the Lord has created us to do because it brings Him glory. And it's not our thing. But Jesus says, listen, it took him 3.5 years to get into the mind of the boys to be servants, the disciples. And we are to serve. And so when it says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, that's my responsibility and yours to do.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2:10, which is really a continuation of Paul's thought in the previous two verses. This is one of the most clear and powerful proclamations that salvation is of the Lord. In other words, it is to be credited to our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called God's Amazing Work.
We are His workmanship. We saw that the word workmanship is the word poema. That means poem. It's where we get the word poem in the English. And just to give you the definition of it again, it says to make from the thought, to manufacture from an idea, to create from a passion, a work of art, a poem, or a song. We are His workmanship. We're His song. We're His poem. We're His passion. Isn't that amazing? We're His passion. If I were God and I would have looked into the future and I would have saw that Adam and Eve were going to blow up in the garden, I would have said, forget this. Let's go to plan two. But it was God's passion to redeem us. He went along with the thing completely, even though man had his own sovereign ability to choose that God built into him. God saw that in time that Adam and Eve would choose against Him. And yet He still went with this work of His. So this poema, this work of art, is an expression of the Creator God that we know. It said last week that for we are His. We saw that, what does it mean to be His workmanship? Well, first of all, that we're His. Second of all, we saw that we're in Christ, that Jesus is really the pedestal by which we are displayed, Christ living His life out through us by the Holy Spirit. And we saw also last week, what does it mean to be a workman, to be of His workmanship, and that is God the Holy Spirit is the power that works within us. And so we're going to be going on to the second point in the latter half of this verse, which now is, what is my responsibility to my Creator? If He has made me, what am I to do about it? Do I do anything about it? Well, it's very important, and we do. It says here, in the middle of the verse, it says that we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ for good works. Right at the part there of verse 10 in the middle. Being created in Christ. The word created here in the Greek means through an idea. And the idea of an originator, a manufacturer, yes. But it was first in his mind. And that creator is the one who owns. I like the root word. The root word means to acquire by any means or at all costs. Isn't that great? We were created in Christ, but at a tremendous cost. The whole world, the Bible teaches, was alienated and is alienated from God, and it is wayward from God. But we have been created in Christ. That is the redemptive work of God through Jesus Christ. We are now in Christ, and God has begun that work in us. Created in Him, in Christ. It's good news. It begins to paint this picture. If we're His workmanship, and if we are created in His mind, then by His works, in us, it puts to mind, it puts to the easel that we talked about last time, what would be the craftsmanship, the work. And you think of a potter. And a potter sits down, and God speaks of himself as a potter. He speaks about himself as a potter in the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Romans. And he says there that he begins to work the clay. So think about this for a second. It's interesting, isn't it? That Adam and Eve were molded out of the dust of the earth, which if you add a certain amount of water, you'll have some clay. Just add water and you got this clay. And God begins to shape, puts a couple nostrils there and an eye and molds this guy together. It's interesting. But the potter at his wheel, he'll use water. He'll use tools of variation. That means he'll pick up a tool and do a certain thing on that piece of clay. So he'll begin to move his foot and he'll take up the clay and he'll literally, listen, he'll put water to it and he'll even spit on it to get some texture or some ability to mold a texture into it. And he gets this thing going and he's got that wheel going. He starts molding this vase or this ashtray, right? Didn't we all make an ashtray? You're there in, you know, ninth, third, fourth grade, whatever it is, and you're making, oh, Mom, it's an ashtray. If it failed as the, you know, the space shuttle, it turns out to be an ashtray every time. And God doesn't do that. He's got a plan. And he begins to move the wheel, puts the clay on there, and begins to mold and shape a life. He's very good at it. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me this way?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay pottery for a noble purpose or for a common purpose?" Doesn't the potter have that right? Can you imagine? This guy's got a wheel going. He's having a good day. He's molding this thing. And he, you know, I'm going to make this Coke bottle. And he makes this thing, this Coke bottle thing. And the Coke bottle says, "Man, what are you doing? I want to be like the vase over there on the fireplace. Make me like that, will you?" "Well, wait a minute. I don't like the tone of your voice. And I think I'm in control here." "Yeah, well, I want to be one of those things instead." And you know, right about then, he grabs the neck of that Coke bottle and just squeezes it off shut. And and begins to plop that thing around and he makes a dish out of it. The potter's got that right. He's got that ability. But in the mind of the potter, he knows what he's going to have before he ever starts, because he's a craftsman. Your life, God knew before you were ever born. He knew exactly where you would be tonight, in what situation, and in what place, and where you're at. He knows this. It's interesting to me that God does whatever he wants to do. He can place a handle. He can place a spout. He can do whatever he wants to do in a life. And I find this so amusing, and I think you do too, when somebody who doesn't know God has an event take place in their life, they'll tell you all the days that you're talking to them, "I don't believe in God." Or, "When I meet God, I'll tell him a thing or two." And then an event happens in their life, a crisis. And what do? They begin to curse God, who they don't believe in, which always cracks me up. Or, when they say, "I'll tell him," you know, what's going on in the end, they'll say, "What are you doing? God, what are you doing in my life? Oh man, I thought you didn't believe in him." "Well, now I do. And I'm scolding him." "Well, I thought you knew all the answers. I thought you were going to instruct him in the end. What are you asking him for?" Man has got inside of him this emptiness, what some have said, a God-shaped hole. And until Christ comes in your life, there's this hole. But even that emptiness, there is still within the heart of man to question God. It's still there. This pottery that he has made. But in this pottery, he has built in certain attributes and certain things that we are solely responsible for. It's interesting, in ancient times and cultures, handcrafted wares were marked. And the civilization that it was in relation to, if it was a very poor civilization, the pottery was very poor and plain. If it was a very wealthy civilization, the pottery was very colorful and very elaborate. And I found this interesting, that very expensive pottery had handles on it. And they said the reason why it was expensive, because the person carrying the bucket or carrying the pot had more control to do with that pottery that they wanted to, because it had handles on it. They had an ability to pour or to scoop or whatever, and it was sold for a greater amount of value. Now, that makes sense. But it led to the person owning it to have more control. And I think in all of our lives, God has placed like a handle in our lives. And some of our handles, I don't think we recognize as handles, as being a piece of work of God. You know, God can get a grip on you in the midst of the most unusual and strange circumstances that you've ever thought of or maybe have not thought of. How many of you have come through a crisis or through things in your life God has brought you through, and you never would have taken that path? You would have said, you know what, I would have gone down here, I would have made a right, and I would have enjoyed this thing, and I would have done that, and then I would eventually come this way. And yet God in His wisdom knows what kind of lump of clay we are. And He steers us down paths, puts us on a wheel, slaps us together, puts a wad of spit in there, pours some water on it, slaps it around, spins the wheel, begins to mold and shape and pull and stretch and plop it down again. And you're saying, what's going on? This hurts. When's it going to stop? It is. You think your world's gone mad. Don't show me your hand, but how many of you think tonight your world's gone mad? I said, don't show me your hands. Ushers, there's a madman in the house. Isn't that true? Man, what's going on? God knows. These last couple of weeks, going through this verse 10 and just kind of eating this up in my heart, I have been extremely relaxed about things that have happened in my life. I have felt so relaxed recently that I have felt a little guilty. You know that feeling? No, you don't. Well, it's just me then. It's just me. It's like, Lord, I should be going nuts over this. And yet, because of verse 10, I'm thinking, I'm your workmanship. You must have a plan. You must want to put, you know, a little dimple right here on my forehead. Or a crowbar. Or whatever. You know, Lord, what's going on? And then it's been neat because the tendency has been peace. What's happening? Huh? Ask the workman. It's been really nice. Not worrying about it. Listen to this. We are common wares, so to speak. And I want to give you a neat Old Testament example. Listen to this. You can jot it down and I'll read it to you. It's in Judges chapter 7. Common wares. And let me say this while you're thinking about it or jotting it down. Common wares. And I want to give you this. Took it right out of a book of manners and customs. It says there concerning common pottery wares. They were used in the household for the protection or for the manufacturing of whatever was needed. The contents that was put inside the vessel or the pot gave name to the pot. To get the flour was to get the pot of flour. And we do that today, don't we? We don't say, can you get me the carton of milk? We say, can you get me some milk? Well, we don't bring it over in the palm of our hand and drop it on there. We bring them the carton. When we say, I'd like to get something to eat, they don't throw it in our car while we drive by. It's packaged. And when somebody hands you that meal, it's wrapped. And you don't say, oh, there's the wrapping and inside must be the taco or whatever. You say, that's my taco. The container's got the thing in it, and yet the container takes on the very name of what it is that's inside. And I found that interesting because in Judges, I like this, in Judges chapter 7, it shows exactly what this is talking about. Verse 16, it says, then he divided 300 men into three companies. This is Gideon. He's got 300 guys, three companies, 100 guys in each company. And he's dividing them up, and they're going to go into battle. And they must have all been near their house or somewhere around their homes or went someplace, and they got some common pottery ware. We know that for a fact. Common stuff. Nothing beautiful, earthy, stuff. And it says there, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, Gideon did, and an empty pitcher and a torch inside the pitcher. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. And when I blow the trumpet, and I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets, and every side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon, shout it out. So Gideon and 100 men went, 100 men who were with him went and came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, and so it's night. And as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands, then the 3 companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and they held their torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand, and they were blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And every man stood in his place around the camp, and the whole army ran out and cried and fled from them. And you see this. They got a trumpet in a hand, and they got a pot in their other hand. And in their pot, the only thing sticking out of the pot, I would imagine, if anything sticking out at all, is a handle to a torch. And the torch is inside that pot, burning. But as they snuck up on the troops couldn't see the light from the torch. They couldn't see anybody. It was night. So when Gideon pulls out his trumpet to blast, he must have taken something and smashed the pot. And when that pot was broken, the light shone from the pot. And then 300 other men did the same thing and freaked out the army that they were attacking. And they all fled and ran as they shouted, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And I like that picture because the scripture tells us in the book of Corinthians that we're common. We're common where? In 2 Corinthians 4:5, it says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. I like that. Sounds like this story. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we are His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for this good work. The book of Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, and yes, I have made him. That's us. And so salvation, like creation, and like this recreation of us being saved by the Lord, is a work of God and God alone. It says here in verse 10 that He's created us in Christ Jesus for good works. This is my responsibility, people. This is yours, that we would do good works. And this is rather simple. You know, we kind of get all hung up, and people who have been like demanded, you know, you've been saved for a day, so now you're going to be on the board of the church. You ever seen? I heard about things like that. People get saved, and a week later, they're assistant pastor. It's like, great, wow, okay. And but yet, service is what the Lord has created us to do because it brings Him glory. And it's not our thing. But Jesus says, listen, it took him 3.5 years to get into the mind of the boys to be servants, the disciples. And we are to serve. And so when it says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, that's my responsibility and yours to do. And I want to go through this carefully because I want you to get it. Are you ready for this? This is profound. I'm going to want you to respond if you can. When is a hammer at its best? Does anybody have a clue when a hammer might be at its best? And I wrote down here when it's used or being used by the carpenter. That's when the hammer is being used at its best. It's not necessarily being used at its best when I'm using it. But when a carpenter is using it, it's being used at its best. I have no problem with that. Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. When is a car at its best? When is it being used at its best? Well, it's being used by the driver, depending upon how you drive, I guess. But a car just sitting there means nothing. Pretty neat. I have no problem with that. I can figure that out, and I have no problem with that. When's an airplane used at its best? Well, when it's in the hands of the pilot. There's no doubt about it. And everybody wants to be on an airplane where the pilot's got a control of that airplane and using it the way it ought to be used. No problem there. When is a human being used at their best? In the hand of another human being? No. In a slave camp? No. Working for my company? No. Mowing the lawn? No. When it's in the hands of its creator. That's how a human works the best. But yet we're born into this world not in his hands. We're born into this world alienated from his hands. And we come to know a life that is fulfilling and meaningful when we give our lives back into his hands. That's when we really become who God has created us to be. And that is the strange truth of what so many people think otherwise. Maybe in this group there are people thinking, you know what? I'm not going to be used by any church or any usher or any whatever ministry, nothing. And you think kind of like you're slipping one over on us. Like you're kind of like getting off better. Look, I escaped the children's ministry this year. Isn't that cool? I didn't even go once. And you guys are all adults, aren't you? Remember telling your kids, or remember your parents telling you, take this, it'll make you feel better. And you're thinking they're going to kill you. This Tylenol or whatever it is, this NyQuil is going to kill me. But you get better. I'm going to tell you something right now, and you're going to think, it's going to kill me. And I'm not asking you to serve in this church. If you're visiting, go serve back at that church. Here's the thing. Don't rip yourself off anymore. You didn't escape the children's ministry this year. You ripped yourself off. The greatest growth that happens in your life is when you serve. Serve God. And you go, well, I have no problem serving God. It's these people around here. Now, I know nobody would ever say such a thing around here. But you know what? When you're serving each other is when you're serving the Lord Jesus. That's what Matthew 25 is all about. When we help somebody else around here, we're helping the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the precious and familiar passage Ephesians 2:10. In fact, this is a mini-series called God's Amazing Work. Now, we do wish to remind you of our current offer, which is valuable in more ways than one. It's Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, its political climate, even things like first century Jewish expressions. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. When you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for it by name, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.